Well, as you just heard, I did just get back from a trip in Florida. And let me tell you, I had the greatest of times, okay? Spent loads of time with my older brother, my younger sister, my grandmother, and all these other people. In any case, we had a great time. And we did so many things. I mean, we went to Disney, we did this, we did that, you know. I mean, but Disney is the main one, you know. In any case, we did so much. And we had such a great time there. And my older brother and I, we sat down for what I was waiting for, and we talked about godly things. We sat down for a while and had some good conversation. And let me tell you, some seeds were planted, and that was one of the plans of me going down there and being there. So I'm glad that that happened. And while I was there, of course, we took many pictures. My older brother ended up bringing his daughter with him, my niece, along. And, you know, for the longest time, I couldn't really understand how people would get so caught up in their nieces and their nephews. But I understand now, okay? My niece is the cutest thing. I love her so much. And once I post these pictures, wherever they are, if you're flipping through them, you're going to see her a lot, okay? She's just the cutest thing. And we did so much together. And no doubt, while we were down there, we took tons of pictures. And while you're going through these pictures, you're just going to see all of these things. One of the things I really love about pictures is just how you can go back, you can look at it, and you'll just sit there and you'll reminisce for a while. You know, you just sit there and you think, wow, what a great time. We had such fun. What was I feeling at that point? What was going on at this point? You know, was it a good thing? Was it happy? In any case, it's an experience. It's a snapshot of what was going on there at that time. And it was amazing. Well, as we continue our journey as becoming partakers of the divine nature, we get to this point of brotherly affection. No doubt, if you're going to be flipping through my pictures, you're going to see some brotherly affection there. Okay. You've got three brothers there and there. I mean, man, there's just affection. There's love. There's kindness. There's everything. But sometimes what I like to imagine is when God is looking at us, what picture is he seeing? What kind of picture is he seeing? Can he look at us and say, that's good? Can he look at us and see the love there? Can he see the affection? Can he see a picture of brotherly affection? That's what we want to talk about tonight. Is the point that we imagine God, really, work with me now, having some sort of photo album, if you will. And as he's flipping through this photo album, he comes to the picture of our congregation, of this church here. And what is it going to say? What is it expressing? Is it expressing doubt? Is it expressing some other type of nonsense? Is it expressing brotherly affection? Can God look at us today and say, these are people who love each other, who are working together, to make sure that not only they themselves are going to make it, but they're doing what they can to make sure that those around them are going to make it too. Can he see that? Can he see how we're loving each other? How we're taking care of each other? Brethren, I can see it. No doubt I can see it. I'm here. I can see it. And we want God to see it too. We want God to see it more fully, better. But it's going to take some work. It's going to take some practice. It's going to take God. And what we want to look at right now, here in Acts chapter 2, is this picture. We see a picture of brotherly affection in its earliest workings. And when we're talking about brotherly affection, we're talking about something that's universal in a sense and personal. Universal because it involves every Christian. Personal in the sense because affection involves, you know, sacrifice. It involves loving one another, but with a sacrificial love. Agape, that's what we're talking about here. Do we have brotherly affection? But first, let's read about some brotherly affection. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Brethren, this is a snapshot of the church in the first century. These brethren here, they're getting together and they're sharing with each other because they are partakers in Christ. And this picture of the early church is a picture, no doubt, of brotherly affection. We see it. We see all the things that they're doing. But what we want to do is we want to take this picture. And now that we've sketched it in our minds a bit, we want to make this picture more fully and how we can be like this and how we can be like them in full affection for one another. And if we're talking about this, if we're reading through these scriptures and we're paying attention to the details, one of the first things we're going to recognize is their daily devotion. It says here that they devoted themselves daily to the apostles' teachings. And no doubt one of the teachings that they had were the teachings of Christ, right? That's what the apostles were supposed to do. They were supposed to teach the people of Christ and what he had said. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Do you see, as we just got done reading in Acts chapter 2, how his commands are being actualized just a few weeks later? Do we understand that? And no doubt the brethren were reminded and told of this specific command here. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another." Many of Jesus' teachings included within them ways and ideals to love the brethren. And we can see that throughout the New Testament. We see that in his parable of the prodigal son, and how the older brother did not love his younger brother. And you saw the result there. We see it in the parable of the sheep and the goats. Why were the sheep on the right hand? Why were the goats on the left hand? And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is what we see. That they're daily devoting themselves to the teachings. And no doubt these teachings of love, these teachings of affection is what shaped that church, is what made it, is what made that picture so good. But that's not the only thing that we see them devoting themselves to. We see them also devoting themselves to the fellowship. We see them also devoting themselves to the fellowship. And this word there, fellowship, is it means to be a partner or a sharer in common interest. And of course, all those who were baptized devoted themselves to discipleship and the brotherhood. They soon realized how much they had in common. And when you're reading through this, it's not talking about things in common because that's how it was before they became Christians. It's because once they made that decision, you see how they became all things, how they had all of these things in common. And one of these things is this fellowship that they're devoting themselves to. They're devoting themselves to making sure that they're going to be with each other, to have that partnership, and to understand one another. Now, isn't that one of the foundations of this brotherly affection? It's kind of hard to be affectionate towards someone you don't really know, isn't it? It's kind of difficult to really get along with someone and to understand and to pursue with them if you don't know a single thing about them. So what are they doing? The fellowshipping. What are they doing in this fellowship? Well, they're worshiping God. They're going through the scriptures. They're listening to the apostles. They're understanding these teachings. That's what they're doing together. That is what's making this picture so good. They were united in partnership. And this is also something that Jesus had taught and prayed for. Read with me, John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. "I do not ask for these alone," he says, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me." This prayer is being actualized by the brethren. They're having this unity, a fellowship. They're sticking together. They have this partnership. And it's all because they've devoted themselves to Christ. It's all because this is a picture of brotherly affection. This is what we needed to see. This is what it looks like. That picture is for us to look back and to reminisce and say, yeah, that's good. And we get that picture. They also devoted themselves not only to the fellowship, but also in prayers, it says. They prayed. What do we find them praying about? Well, whenever somebody ends up in prison, what do we see them praying about? That this person gets out of there. Whenever we see some trouble going on, what is one of the first things we see or we read that the brethren are doing? They're praying. These brethren are praying together. When God is looking at our picture, is he going to see that? Hopefully, that's the hope. And no doubt we have seen it, but we have to continue in it. Do we want our picture to be good? That's what we have to do. And we see these brethren constantly praying, constantly. We see the apostles constantly praying as well. When there was a problem that came up about, okay, who's going to serve these people? Who's going to serve this food? Who's going to give these things? Well, instead of doing that work themselves, and it's not to say that, hey, you know, they were too good to do that work, but they devoted themselves to prayer because it was that important that they speak to God and that God speaks to them. And they did it together. They did it in brotherly affection. No doubt they spent many times praying for themselves, about their common sufferings, about their common goals. And if we want to see a picture like that, if we want to be a picture like that, we have to be doing the same things. But right now, here in the first century, this picture is looking really good. It's looking the best. These brethren here are doing everything together. They have all of these things in common. But there are other things that we see these brethren doing besides their devotion. We see their commonality. Of course, it is said that they had all things in common. And we see physically that they literally sought to have all things in common. It says here that they were determined not to have anything. The brethren, they said, we're not going to have anything. And what did they end up doing? Selling all of their possessions and making sure that each one did not have need. That's what they were doing. Now, I'm not here to stand before you and say, okay, you need to go out here and sell all your possessions. But I'm also not standing up here saying that you don't need to do that. Okay? You do what you need to do when it comes to that. What I'm saying here is this is the picture that we see of brotherly affection. This is what they're doing. And they were making sure that they truly had all things in common. But there is also some commonality that's happening here behind the scenes. Yes, we read about how they sold their possessions and how they devoted themselves daily to one another and doing these things, but we also see them doing other things. We also see something that's happening here. And what I want us to notice is a couple common threads here in the scriptures surrounding brotherly affection. And the first thread is a proclamation that we belong to God. Here in John chapter 17, something we just got done reading. John chapter 17 and verse 21, it says that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. And what does he say? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. He says, when they are in Christ, when they are in me and I am in you and we're all working together, the world is going to recognize that. The world is going to recognize how we belong to God. The world is going to recognize how we believe in him. And it's going to see that when we're loving one another, when we're being one, when we're together in Christ. John chapter 13 and verse 35, it says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love for one another. He says all. He's not just talking about other brethren. He says all. All will know that you belong to me when you love one another. Isn't that interesting? Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. That's an effect here when we love one another. That's not to say that this is going to happen every single time. That isn't to say, well, you know, once we love one another, yes, everybody's going to come in. We're not going to have any problems or issues with our community here. Everything's going to be good. That's not what this is talking about. But it's saying this can happen. It happened here, and this is what we want to happen, isn't it? We want to be in favor with people, but for the right reasons. And what are the reasons that were given here in the first century? They're loving each other. They have that affection. They're showing it. It's real and it's genuine. And that's what we get to see. The world will know that we are of God when we have love for one another. It's a great picture to look at. It's a great picture to emulate. It's a great picture to be. But not only is it a proclamation that we belong to God, but when we have this brotherly affection, we see that it is also an assurance of salvation. Back in John chapter 17, Jesus says that they may be in us. He's saying when these people have been in us, in me, in Christ, and in God, that unity is there. His prayers have come to fruition. But once a person is in Christ, what does that mean? Once a person is in God, what does that mean? That means salvation. That means you're there. That means you're with him. And that nothing is going to separate us from that. That means we are with God. It's an assurance of salvation here. What happens to those in Christ when they are loving their brethren is what God blesses them with. We also see that, as we talked about before, in the parable of the sheep and the goats. And we ask the question, why are the sheep on the right hand and why are the goats on the left hand? What do we see those in God's right hand doing? We see them loving the brethren. And it's exactly as Jesus had said. Once you show love to those, even to the least of these, you have done it unto me. It's an assurance of our salvation. But not only that. Brotherly affection here is listed with all of the other qualities that ensure our salvation. Read with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You understand that one of those qualities is brotherly affection, as loving each other here. For in this way, he says, you will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an assurance. It's going to make sure that you're going to be there because you're acting the way that God wants you to act. When we are loving each other, that's where we're going to be. That's what's going to happen. It is because of their daily devotions to the teachings, to the fellowships, and to the prayers that they had commonality. And that commonality extended all the way to their salvation. Those were the things that were happening behind the scenes. And it's happening with us too, if we keep to these commands. If we love one another as Christ has loved us. And let me tell you, brethren, it's that serious. And that's how important it is to God that we have love for one another. If you're ever flipping through a coloring book, or maybe a picture book, and sometimes I've seen this in a photo album, you'll come across a page with two pictures. Two pictures side by side. And the challenge is to spot the differences in them. And let me tell you, I enjoy seeing those. Those things are so neat, you know. Because when you first look at them, at first glance, you really can't see the differences. You're like, these are exactly the same, right? But the longer you focus on it, the more you can see the differences, the more you can spot how these things are different. What we want to do, okay, if we're going back to our analogy of God having this picture book, we want to have that page in there too. We want to have our picture there on that page. And when God gets to that page, when it says brotherly affection, he sees a picture of the first century and he sees a picture of this congregation here. We want them to be exactly the same. That's what we want. But how do we do that? What does our picture look like? That's what we need to ask. And if we want our picture to look like the picture in the first century, we need to understand that it's going to take specifically a few things, but right now, a determination. And the first thing is a determination to follow the teachings. It comes with a determination to put Christ and the apostles' teachings into practice here. That's what it's going to take. We can't just look at this and say, wow, that is great. And we can't just look at this and look at the word and read the word and how it says, yeah, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And man, that would be so good. No, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. We have to put these things into practice. Remember James talking about those types of things as well. A person who just looks at the perfect law, you know, he sees himself in a mirror and he goes away and he forgets what he looked like. And the reason is because he isn't focusing. He isn't allowing that word to change him. And so that's what we need to do. We allow God's words and the teachings to change us. And when it changes us, that image that we're going to see is going to be the image that God wants it to be. It's going to be the perfect image of Christ. So we need to have a determination to follow the teachings. No doubt when we just got done reading it in Acts chapter 2, we see the brethren doing that. Daily devoting themselves to these teachings. It wasn't just some passive thing. Once they became Christians, they were in Christ. They were going to stick with it. They were going to do it. And that's what it's going to take for us too. It's also going to take a determination to love more fully. We love genuinely. It is a love that is real. Sometimes there's this risk of it becoming superficial. And how do you do, you know, and we get into the rut of saying the same things, acting the same way and things like that. Sometimes that's how it's going to be. But our love is to be genuine. It's to be real. Remember Greg talking about this just a few weeks ago. And our love has to be the same. We see that picture here and what these brethren are doing in the first century. Can we do the same thing? We see the genuineness, the realness, the seriousness of it. And all it takes is for us to have the same determination as well. But something else that we see in this determination to love more fully, we don't see anything or a focus at all on their personalities. When Peter gets done preaching his sermon, we don't see any of these brethren saying, well, you know, that sounds really good, but yeah, that's just not really fitting with me. I'm sure that would have happened. And I'm sure that happens every time somebody gets up and preaches and talks about God. But that's not happening with the brethren. That's not happening with those who believe, you see. That's the difference there. When we believe in Christ, when we believe in God, we're setting ourselves aside. You know what kind of love it took to show that. A sacrificial love, putting ourselves aside. That's what it's going to take. And so we don't see any of them focusing on their personalities and saying, well, you know, since it doesn't just fit with who I am, I just don't think I can do this. It's not about that. And once we think that, our focus is off and our determination, no doubt, is going to be off too. If we are determined to love the brethren as Christ loved us, we're going to be focused on his personality. And sometimes this is going to look like extremism. You know, usually, I remember when I first read through Acts 2, this section here, selling all of their possessions and things like that. I'm like, oh man, I don't know about that, right? And you know, and that sort of rubs us off the wrong way because we're thinking, that's extreme, okay? That's extreme love. Is it? Brethren, if we look at this picture here in Acts chapter 2 and we think, that's extreme love, what does that say about us? What kind of love do we have? It's going to look extreme sometimes. I remember when we just got done moving Sister Shannon Martin over there, and one of her friends who had gone along to help us move, she was shocked by how many people actually showed up to help her move. And you know, that wasn't extreme to us, was it? We're just like, hey, we're just here to help. we're showing some brotherly affection right now. Hey, that's all we're doing. But that was extreme to her. She was totally surprised about how many people had shown up, that how many people cared and wanted to help. So sometimes it's going to look extreme, but it's not going to look like that to us. It's just brotherly affection. It's just loving one another. And no doubt, we're not seeking that it looks way out there, you know. We're not saying, okay, I've got to make sure my love is extreme. No. And we're also not saying, well, you know, I just don't know if I can do. No, we're not talking about doubt. All it takes is a determination to love more fully. All it takes is a determination to love the way Christ has loved us. All it takes is a determination to show brotherly affection. And we also see it in their possessions as well. Nothing stopped these brethren here in Acts 2 from being the way that they knew that they had to be. Nothing stopped them. And what we need to ask ourselves is, sometimes does our stuff stop us? Does our stuff stop us sometimes from loving more fully? Well, if it does, what do we need to do? We need to get rid of it. Plain and simple. That's how easy it is. We just need to get rid of it. There's nothing else to it. These brethren here, they were not concerned about their personalities. They were not concerned about their possessions. They were concerned about one personality and one possession. The personality of Christ and having him. And brethren, that's it. That's all it's going to take. A determination to have those two things. And when we have those two things, there's nothing else we need to worry about. And anything in this world is not going to be like it was before. We're going to have a more genuine love for our brethren, because we can focus more on what is really important, making sure that we all are going to make it. That's where it lies, that determination. And it's also a determination to love like Christ. But before we can even look at that, we've got to ask ourselves, what did God's determination look like? What did Jesus's love look like? And 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. That's the reason. That's the motivation. That's everything that we need to show genuine brotherly affection. And we do it because we have this in mind. Because God loved us first, we know how to do it. We know what it takes. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then it gives an example there. And gave himself up for her. That's the type of love we're talking about. When Jesus says, no greater love hath man than this, to lay his life down for his friends. That's the type of love we're talking about. That sacrificial love. Brethren, if it comes to our lives, so be it. No doubt we don't like thinking about that. And we have to give our lives for someone else. Well, we love each other that much. So be it. And we know what it takes. And we know what it looks like. And we know what it's supposed to be. Because he first loved us. And that's what we need to understand. Is that when we look at Jesus, he's the picture. He's the full picture. But when we have a determination to belong to God, to love more fully, a determination to love like Christ, when we do this, we can find our picture there, right next to the first century. And you get to that part where it says, can you spot the differences? And it's not going to be different. It's going to be exactly the same when we have a determination to love like Christ. And Christ's love was sacrificial, meaningful, and meant everything. Without his love, we would not be here, even today. That's how important it is. That's how much we need to focus on him. Brotherly affection. It means to love those in Christ and to love those like family. Jesus is the full picture of brotherly affection. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. He is that picture that we're all seeking. And when we practice these things, we're not only going to be like that church in the first century. If they got it right and things worked out for them and we want to be like that, hey, guess what they look like also? They look like Christ. And we're going to look like him too. Remember, it's a proclamation that we believe in God and that we belong to him, that we are his children. And his children are going to act like his father. That's what we're going to do. And so if you're here tonight, and perhaps you haven't seen this picture, or perhaps you still don't know what it looks like, or what it's supposed to be, our goal is to point you to the love of Christ. And for you to understand that because he loved us, we can love each other. We can love others the way that we need to. We understand what it looks like. We understand what it needs to be. And if you're not a part of that, we pray and we hope that you choose to be so today. That you give your life over to God and you come into his love. That you confess him as the Son of God, Savior. That you're baptized for the remission of your sins and you spend the rest of your life making sure that that repentance is genuine and it's true and you stick to him. Or perhaps you're here tonight and maybe your love has been off somewhat. Maybe you've been caught up in all of these different possessions. Maybe your determination is somewhere else. But we hope and we pray that you make that known to us so that we all help each other. Do not forget what we're talking about here. We're here to love each other. We're here to make sure that all of us are going to make it. Give us that chance to do it.